Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the TSA may start profiling luggage, and an Oregon hotel is suing an online poster for a view they say is full of lies.
At 3:15, I'm going to talk with Mark about how he feels celebrating 35 years in the tour business. What's different in the travel business today from what it was when he started back in 1979?
At 3:35, Steve LaRosa joins us for an entertainment feature, a fun event taking place in Sacramento next Sunday. Hint? It involves drums and bugles.
3:45, Mark has a rant against United Airlines, and we're going to talk about the world's most bizarre flavors of ice cream. Jellyfish, avocado. Seriously, Mark, jellyfish?
Jellyfish. Okay. Raw horse meat ice cream is on the list. More to look forward to. All that, plus your phone calls and maybe an occasional prize giveaway or two on a Father's Day afternoon with the Travel Guys.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Happy Father's Day. Welcome to the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman to my left, the president,
you're Tom
founder.
Romano,
yeah, I am.
After all this time.
You know, a lot of people have asked me over the years, they go, you know, since you're in radio, a lot of people change their name to, you know, Johnny Hyde,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And they always ask me, is Tom Romano your real name? I go, yeah, it used to be Bobby Box, and I thought I'd get something that sounded more radio. You know, I am. I'm one of the few people in, uses their
but
original name.
But it does
name.
Sound like a radio name.
Now, do you remember when I first started at KCRA years ago, when I went to work there, the program director said, you know, is that the name you're going to use on the air? And I go, yeah. He says, well, when you come back in a week to start, do something with it. Make it memorable. Make it longer. Make it shorter. Do something. So when I came back right off the bat, I says, hi there. This is Thomas Lorenzo Angelo DiStefano Romano. And if you can remember my name and you call in and can get it right, you win a prize. So for the longest time, I was Thomas Lorenzo Angelo DiStefano Romano. And to this day, some 40 years later or whatever it was, I still run across people that say, I used to listen to you, Thomas Angelo Lorenzo something. So anyway, that's my my radio background thing there.
I've always
How about
been,
you? Is Mark Hoffman
I've
your original
always been
name?
Mark Hoffman, yes. Yeah. When
How
I did
Fs?
Sports
How many
in
Ms?
The 90s, I was Mark Hoffman. Two Fs and two Ns.
There you go.
The 100 spellings of that name. You know, you can spell it anybody. It's basically, you know, call me whatever you want. Just don't call me good late for supper. Happy Father's Day to you, sir. You are a father of two lovely daughters, both of whom got married on us a
yes,
couple of years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
All that's still working out well?
It is. It is fabulous. I love my daughters, and you know, I still consider fatherhood and my two daughters my most awesome accomplishment that will never be, you know, exceeded by anything else that I might do in life.
Shall we give the wife an assist on that?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, yeah. But
just trying to keep you out of trouble there. It's just trying to make sure you have a home to go to home to at the end of the day. Well, no children here. My father passed a couple of years ago. I was listening to the Giants game before we went on the air, and it reminded me that dad was a huge baseball fan. That's where I'm sure I get my my love of baseball. And he was forever watching a baseball game. And if you called him on Father's Day, you would find him either at a baseball game after cell phones were invented, or at home watching a baseball game. I mean, it was his priority in life was especially after he got done working. Was baseball. That was basically his priority.
You are a Giants fan. What was your dad?
My dad was a Cardinal fan. Okay. In the Midwest, grew up in the Midwest, and he was a Cardinal fan, although he lived around Kansas City and became a Kansas City Royals fan. Years ago, when dad took me to a baseball game in Kansas City, I was 18, 19 years old. My father took me to a baseball game in Kansas City, and we were watching a third baseman warm up for the Royals. And my father said, before the ball game, I want you to watch this guy hit, because he said, I think he's the best hitter I've ever seen ever play the game. Someday he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And he was a rookie that year, and his name was George Brett.
Wow.
And indeed, he did end up in the Hall of Fame someday. Every time I watched that man hit, I thought of my father. So,
well, you know, I think there's nothing more traditional than dads and their sons at baseball games. And the stories that, you know, older kids tell of going to games with their dads is just, they just go run rampant.
It does tell you that if you're a father out there, those little, you just don't know when you're creating a lifetime memory. Isn't that kind of true? When you're a kid, you know, when you're an adult, you never know what you're creating for your child that will stick with them for the rest of their lives.
Now, so. I remember my dad actually getting in the face of the Little League coach because he wasn't playing me.
My father did the same thing.
That's what dads do. Well, I guess we ought to get on with the show, as
we
said. All right, let's do it. Let's check out the travel news. Mark, what do you got for us?
All right, lots of stuff here. The FBI is cracking down on laser attacks on airplanes. For the next 3 months, the FBI is offering rewards of up to $10,000 for information leading to the arrest of anyone who points a laser device at an aircraft in flight. Lasering is a felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison. So you might ask, how widespread is this problem? According to Reuters, the FBI documented 3,900 laser attacks last year. That's an average of almost 11 a day. And the real number is certainly much higher. In other words, it's happening a lot. And what this is, Tom, is it's just like kids on the ground pointing laser lights at airplanes as they're going through the sky. And you think, well, you know, that's not going to reach that airplane. But it's laser is a whole different thing. You can blind an airline pilot. You could literally bring down an airline with a $50 laser from the ground.
That's crazy
so
stuff.
So it's not.
So those lasers, so they, you'll know, they basically have infinite distance.
Yeah, and you don't want to be pointing those at people, especially at eyes and stuff like that, because, and when they reflect off of windshields and things, it's very bad news. So it's a prank. It could get you in a lot of trouble. And the FBI has now said that they're going to try to find some of the people who are pulling some of this stuff. So go put pennies on the on the railroad tracks like we used to as a kid. The TSA says they're going to start profiling checked luggage. They're considering launching a new system to screen checked baggage, reports the LA Times. The proposed system would be risk-based, meaning the bags would be screened differently depending on the profile of the passenger who owns the bag. So now,
a lot of people are going to lose their pot.
You think?
That's all I got to say.
Speaking of, there's no way, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way he could have known this was the next story in the news. You know, speaking of pot, we've talked about the new pot tourism in Colorado, which is booming. There is now a cannabis in Seattle.
Okay.
Weed becomes legal there at the 1st of July. This tour, the original cannabis tour, the tour provides an exciting look into Seattle's cannabis culture. The tour features include a cannabis cooking demonstration, visit to a medical marijuana grow, an inside look at an operating dispensary, and a trip through one of Seattle's iconic glass shops featuring the latest in marijuana-related accessories. We even include a pit stop for some famous local cuisine, of course, because you're going to have the munchies. Tour is approximately 3 to 3.5 hours, $100 a person, 21 and over, please. Every Saturday and Sunday starting May 3rd and 4th. Right here it is. Cannabis tourism.
Well, sure.
At its best. Well, you know, listen, we've talked about it. People go wine tasting. There's absolutely no reason in the world for this not to happen. And it's going to be big bucks for some people. You know, Tom, this whole sharing economy that's coming along, the whole, everybody's into sharing everything, and the whole ride sharing, we've talked about this a lot.
Right.
These ride sharing companies, Uber is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the backlash is becoming international. Uber is a United States based company, but commuters faced a day of traffic chaos in London, Berlin, Paris, and Madrid Wednesday as taxi drivers mounted one of the biggest protests against Uber, a U.S. car service which allows people to summon rides at the touch of a button. Paris commuters faced gridlock getting into the city Wednesday morning when taxis slowed traffic on major arteries. In London, up to 12,000 taxi drivers tied up streets around Trafalgar Square. So it's the taxi drivers are really up in arms over this. And what makes them so mad is that they have to buy these taxi medallions and different licenses that cost a fortune. And you can put a pink mustache on front of your car or sign on to one of these apps and immediately you're in business.
And yeah, this would be interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch how this pans out. Sooner or later, this is going, legislation or whatever is going to happen.
Pending in California.
Yeah, pending in California. And I do think they're going to make them come on board?
Well, I think so. I mean, it's listen, the taxi drivers, while I support them in their fight now, I won't support them in their fight after these folks are properly insured and stuff, because then it just becomes a competitive marketplace. And unfortunately, the world is changing. And if you're not seeing this, this is not something that had started yesterday. I mean, it's going on for a while now, and it's going to happen in more things. I mean, why does each one of us have a vacuum cleaner in our house? You know, I've wondered about this for a long. How often do we use the vacuum cleaner? Every couple of weeks? And what does it do the rest of the time? It just sits there.
Mm-hmm.
So why could not everybody on the same block use the same vacuum cleaner? I mean, that's perhaps a little socialistic.
Yeah.
But all we're talking about here is automobiles, same thing. People's car sits around most of the time. Our friend Ben Schlappig has decided to ditch his car in his house and live on the road. So is that... I mean, that's something that's so bizarre, most people wouldn't even consider it.
Somewhere along the line, the government will figure out that whatever he's doing is illegal because he's not paying property tax. He doesn't have, he's not paying, licensing for an automobile. He's skating by some government money there that they should be getting from him. I'm sure they'll come up when he'll get them something in the mail.
You think?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Speaking of in the mail, I got two jury summons on the same day.
Oh, my
mail.
Gosh.
One for the feds and one for the county.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Arrived on my 59th birthday last
Go
week.
Go for the grand jury one.
Happy birthday. Yeah, well, I didn't get that one yet.
Yeah.
United Airlines has followed Delta Airlines in changing the way that you will earn miles starting on March 1st of next year. You will earn miles according to your status with the airline. No status earns you 5 miles per dollar. Lots of status earns you 11. Various levels in between. Bottom line is you are going to earn fewer miles for flying on United Airlines unless you are a very top-tier customer. Otherwise, you are going to end up, in some cases, with about half the mileage earning as you used to have. Stay tuned for further details. That starts March 1 of next year. The Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego has been sold. The hotel... It has 757 rooms. It is valued at over $800 million. The Blackstone Group, which owns about 20%, sold their stake, Thomas, for over $1 million a room.
And it's not the dirtiest hotel in the world either.
It's not.
Which sold last week.
The Hotel Del Coronado. All right. Here's something kind of interesting. Our friend Christopher Elliott wrote in USA Today this week about how airlines are arbitrarily changing the international boundaries according to whatever meets their needs. First story is about a guy who goes to check a bag in. He's flying from Miami to Aruba. He says he's going to check a bag. The agent says that's $25. He says, wait a minute. Aren't checked bags included on international flights on a U.S. Airways ticket? And she says, yes, they are. And he says, well, I'm flying to Aruba. And she says, that's not an international flight.
Really?
Yeah. Aruba's not an international destination, according to U.S. Airways. Apparently, they don't consider any of the Caribbean to be the Caribbean to be any part of the United States. And Chris goes on further on to relate another story about a gentleman who was flying from Philadelphia to Cancun in first class. So she stops by the American Airlines lounge and says, I'd like to, because you're first class, you're flying international, you get access to the lounge. He says, no, you don't get access to the lounge because Mexico is not an international destination. And so I just bring it up because, it's just these guys do whatever they want, including moving international borders whenever the mood strikes them.
Well, let's see. Who are we going to be talking about later on? Is it United Airlines?
Yeah, United Airlines. That's okay. A whole different
That's
subject. We're going to talk about that later. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. There's a Lincoln City Hotel. Lincoln City, Oregon, little town off the central coast, on the central coast of Oregon, is suing a blog poster because he posted all kinds of wrong stuff about their hotel. He said all kinds of icky, horrible things about how their housekeeping was on drugs and they were probably smoking something and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
Supposedly stayed in the hotel in March, posted this stuff online, and now the hotel says that it's not only not true, the review has been taken down now, but the hotel says it's not true, and they're suing the guy for $74,000. This after a few months ago, a TripAdvisor review about a wedding. Guy said this is the worst wedding he'd ever been to and all of these horrible things. So the wedding advisor sued the person who posted the and won a judgment against them. So the companies are protected against lawsuits. But you personally, if you, Tom Romano, go and write something about somebody that's not true online and slander them, then, and I'm glad to see it. These companies are waking up and they're going to come after people.
Good for them.
Good for the Ashley Inn in Lincoln City, Oregon, for going after somebody who they felt had posted something that was not true about them. All right, long news report. One more story, the best story of the week.
Okay.
This guy's stuck. Maybe you've heard about this, Tom. This guy's stuck in the airport in Las Vegas overnight. He decides that he's got a cell phone and he's going to get creative, and he basically tapes, edits, and finishes a 5-minute interview to the old Eric Carmen song "All by Myself," Celine Dion version. And it's amazing. It is online. If you haven't seen it, go to travelguysradio.com. Scroll down just above the highlights of the show. You'll see a link to the video.
You will not be able to turn it off.
It's 5 minutes long, and you will watch
it all.
You will be compelled to watch it all.
Don't do it now. We want you listening to the show. But when the show's over, go to travelguysradio.com. It'll be right there on the homepage.
And you'll wonder, how did the man get all of those moving shots? And the answer to the story is he borrowed a roll of packing tape from an airline employee before they left for the night, found a wheelchair with one of those long, you know, like snow poles on it. He taped his cell phone to the top of the pole of the wheelchair and put the wheelchair on a moving sidewalk. And that allowed him to, you'll see it when you see the video. Go to travelguysradio.com and see the video the guy did in the Las Vegas airport. It is an all-time classic, and that is your travel news for today.
Coming up right after the break, going to talk to Mark about celebrating 35 years in the tour business right here on the Travel Guys.
If you plan to motor west, travel my way.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. We don't have too much time here, buddy. I rambled on about the news with I had so much news today.
I know. Then let's get to it. Okay,
the whole program.
It was good news, though.
It was. That video the guy did in Las Vegas, I think it's really one of the funniest and most creative things I've ever seen in my life. Next time I get stuck in an airport overnight, I'm going to feel guilty if I don't come up with something.
I'm jealous that he thought of that first. But then again, I've never been stuck in an airport overnight. I'm sure you have.
Went to Cape Cod last week, celebrated Sports Leisure's actual 35th anniversary on the road, taking some folks on the road, which is what we've done for 35 years.
Well, you know, not many people have had businesses that certainly that they were as passionate about that were so successful for 35 years. So congratulations to Sports Leisure Vacations.
Thank you.
Formerly Sports Leisure Travel. And to you, Mark, for coming up with such a novel idea. You know, what do you think is the secret to your business's success that has kept you around for 35 years?
Customer-driven, definitely. We started out based on suggestions by customers and ideas from people who traveled with us, and we've always kind of followed those. So that really is probably the biggest part of it. And if I were going to tell somebody we're starting their own business, any one tip, I would tell them, listen to your customers. Give your customers what they want, because what ultimately they're the people who buy the product. So if you give them what you want, you might find out that's not what they want. You might be out of business someday. So listen to your customers.
I have a lot of, you know, the kind of questions that most people would ask, but you know me, Mark.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. What was the biggest goof up in regards to listening to your clients, if you can think of one, that you said, you know, we're gonna take the advice. We got a lot of people that want to do X, Y, or Z, mm-hmm. and or whatever in regards to a business decision that you made that later on you look back and you kind of laugh at, and people go, wow, I can't believe we did that, and we're not doing that again. You got any? It's okay if you don't.
I'm drawing a little bit of a blank there, but I can tell you the most disappointing moment probably in the company's history. I was in New York City with a group in 1991, and Phantom of the Opera was still fairly new and fairly hot. And we had tickets to go see Phantom of the Opera, and I went and got the tickets out of the hotel safe and realized that all 42 of them were for the performance the night before.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay. That'd be
and,
one of those.
Yeah, and I had to go down to the lobby and tell the people that they were not going to see Phantom of the Opera.
No
on
way.
On Broadway.
You couldn't fix it.
There was no way to fix it because the theater was sold out. And we were in town for several days, but there were no seats. So we went to see Will Rogers' Follies, which was a substitution. It was the theater's fault. They'd made a mistake on the date of the tickets and sent them to us. And we are supposed to check those things, and we just didn't look as carefully. You can bet that ever since that's happened, why we are a little more careful about that. But it slipped by us, and the people didn't get to see Phantom. We went to see Will Rogers' Follies, which turned out to win the Tony Award for the best new musical that year. And And so people had a good time. And when Phantom came to San Francisco, we paid for everybody to have a trip to San Francisco to see Phantom of the Opera.
There you go. Look at that. That's what I call customer service.
Yeah.
How did you get started?
I worked for Park District here in Sacramento, Mission Oaks Recreation and Park District, not too far from just across the river from where you and I live now. And the good folks there allowed me to run the bus trips to take people to Marine World, which was down in Redwood City at the time, to the ballparks once a year, to San Francisco, to Candlestick, and to see the Warriors play. So we started it. So when I moved on from the Park District after Jarvis Gann tax law passed, I started running trips to ball games. A bus driver said, you ought to do this on the buses to Reno and Lake Tahoe. Pretty soon we had older clients. They started saying, why don't you go to Yosemite and Hearst Castle and Fort
Bragg? Listening to customers.
And, And 35 years later, the rest is really just listening to the customers.
We got less than a minute. Answer this one for me. How has business changed for you?
When we first started 35 years ago, we took people mostly to the casinos in Reno and Tahoe. When people retired, they didn't have a lot of choices as to where they went, what they did recreationally. Now people have a gazillion choices. Also, when I started in business 35 years ago, people retired after they got done doing everything else in their life. Now they travel while they're doing everything else. Travel is now an active part of people's lives along the way, whereas before it was something you did when you reached a certain stage of your life. Now it's been reordered and people do it as an active part of their lives throughout, because basically travel enhances people's experience on this planet. So that's probably the biggest difference, is that people are traveling more and traveling younger, and people who are traveling older are catching up in many cases on places that they didn't get to go to when they were younger in life.
Well, I got a million questions, and if we have time before the show's out, I'll ask you a couple more.
But, all right.
We got a news to do, and then after the news, we're going to bring Steve LaRosa on. There's a program that's going to be out at Hughes Stadium next Sunday that you need to know about, and we're gonna bring it to you right here on the Sunday edition of the Travel Guys. Happy Father's Day. You know, I think I want to go riding. On the city of New Orleans.
Leisure Vacations is taking a trip with people on the city of New Orleans. There's a, you know, that's still a train from New Orleans to Chicago.
Sure.
And there's this company that has, that does these, they redo these old train cars and you can, you know, live, eat, and sleep in them. And it's an overnight trip from New Orleans to Chicago and the city of New Orleans. We're going in September. I wish I was the tour director, frankly, because I would love to go, but no such luck, even though I own the company. I'm not complaining. I'm just babbling here senselessly on the radio.
You know, somebody asked me the other day who listens to the show. We talk about travelguysradio.com, where you can hear, you know, look and see and podcast the shows, but they say, well, you know, we hear about this Sports Leisure Vacations company, and I'd like to maybe travel with them. Do they have a website, which we never mentioned?
Yeah, we don't.
Okay.
Sportsleisure.com.
Okay, because sportsleisure.com, you can see the list of all of Mark's trips. And
the company,
maybe
so graciously pays the bills so we can babble on the radio for an hour.
With that being said, let's babble
Speaking
on.
Speaking of babbling.
Babylon.
Speaking of babbling, we have a babbler of the ultimate ilk.
All right.
I lost my way there. Kind of. I was overwhelmed in the presence of such greatness as two media legends of, like Tom Romano and Steve LaRosa. I was overwhelmed.
Hi, Steve. How you doing, buddy?
I'm kind of overwhelmed myself just hearing that intro.
It was kind of a sloppy intro. Welcome to the show.
Great to be back, fellas. Today we're talking about marching bands on steroids, something that is near and dear to Tom's heart. I know he can attest to how cool this band is going to be.
I sure can. My daughter, in fact, both daughters for a while marched with Sac State. My youngest.
Your daughters were in the marching band?
They were. They were in the Sac State marching band, and my youngest was a member of the Mandarins. They toured. They were at national competitions all over the country. We went to Pasadena, actually, and saw a similar kind of program that's going to be performed at Hughes Stadium a week from today.
So big drum and bugles coming to town.
This is big time stuff. I mean, some of these bands can be as many as 300 strong. If you've ever seen a band cover an entire football field, almost to the point where there isn't any, and then they also have sets. huge sets sometimes. And of course, in front of the marching part of the band, they'll have xylophones and drums and guitars. And this is pretty amazing stuff, isn't it, Steve?
I just took a nap there. Thanks for jumping in on that one.
Tell us more specifically.
I was going to say for a minute there, I don't even know why we asked Steve to call. Tom pretty much knows everything about it.
That's because Steve knows all about this national acclaimed drum and bugle corps event that's going to be happening at Hughes Stadium specifically. But I know a little bit about the bands and what to expect.
That's right. It's the 35th annual Moonlight Classic, and it's presented by SOME, SOME, Sponsors of Musical Enrichment. And these guys are really incredible because they've raised over $3 million for scholarships, for musical scholarships, youth musical scholarships. And it's like Tom described, it's quite a visual and oral spectacular presentation. And you've got bands from all over the country competing in this thing. In fact, I don't know if anybody has told you, Mark, but the MC... The MC of this event is the lovely and talented Tom Romano. That's right. He is actually going to be there in person emceeing this event.
This explains why Mr. Romano knows so much about this. I see that there are drum and bugle corps coming from all over the country for this. Not all of these are local.
No, that's right. And I've been to it a few years now. And as you can see on the list I gave you guys, there are national championships. It makes up about 20, 30 national championships with the participating bands that will be there on Sunday at Hughes. Now, it's going to be at 6 p.m., but the doors open at 4:30. And if you're interested in getting tickets, I want to tell you how you can do that. They can be purchased at the SOME website. That's S-O-M-E Inc. So it's SOMEINC.com. Or, of course, you can get them at the gate that night. And general admission is $25. But like Tom says, it's an incredible show.
Hold on just a second. We're going to hold on. Let me see here.
See, I
got to get my engineer back to the board there. Louise, go ahead and let's listen to the Mandarins. This is from their website.
But I love my home and my family.
That sounds like some pretty cool. So these kids are going to be their programs. I'm reading here in the release that Steve has. They are 11-minute performances, so they're judged, I guess, in some way. This is a competition.
Absolutely, it's interesting because there's maybe, Tom, what would you say, 6-8 judges actually on the field, and another 3 or 4 up in the booth.
Yeah, you got. In fact, you got to, as a marcher, you have to be careful. It's kind of like a football game. You got to be careful that you don't run over a judge. Literally, there'll be a judge that, let's say, is judging the drum line, and he will follow the drum line around, and he will. And a lot of times, they'll have a little microphone that they'll talk into and record their comments, and so that they can have those when they do the final judging. And then when it's all said and done, they'll give that to the band director. So the drum corps or the flute section or whatever can actually go back and hear what the judge had to say about their cadence, about their precision, the good and the bad of what they did.
Good Lord. This is the 35th annual Moonlight Classic. It's at Hughes Stadium next Sunday night at 6:00. Tickets, there's both reserved and VIP. There's general admission and VIP seating. A little bit of difference in the price there. But these kids are coming from all over the country to perform in Sacramento. So it sounds like something that you might want to get out and be a part of. Steve, thanks for the tips, bud. Are you having a good Father's Day?
thank you. Yeah, actually, during that musical presentation, I've been marching around the Target parking lot. So, wait a minute, security is approaching me right now, so I got to go, you guys.
If you, Steve, listen, if you tape that and put it on YouTube, a guy in the Vegas airport's got 200,000 hits on his.
He's all by himself, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Steve LaRosa, an adopted travel guy. Thanks, buddy. Take care of yourself.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, Steve. And again, thanks for inviting me to be the MC of this program. You better be there to help me with pronunciations, okay?
So you are doing a double gig next week. You're doing Travel Guys on Sunday afternoon, and then you're going out to Hughes Stadium Sunday night. This is the life of a media superstar.
Well, you know, I love marching bands. I love what those music programs do for kids in their lives. I think it's a pretty well-known fact that kids that involve themselves in music programs, in the marching band, in in the orchestra or whatever, are a little bit more in tune. They seem to be more on task. It's good for the mind. It helps improve in their studies. And it's something that when they're no longer doing it and they have that instrument, maybe even in the closet, it's something that they'll always remember and share stories with others about. So I'm a big supporter. I also do the open and the close or the halftime show announcing for Sac State's marching band, too, as a contribution of some of my time.
Never too early to start building the scrapbook of lifetime memories. So a drum and bugle corps is an excellent place to start.
What do you have there in your hand?
I have a winner.
A winner
each
in your
week.
Hand.
We take a lucky sports leisure traveler and we give them a $50 gift card just for being a lucky sports leisure traveler. And if they hear their name on the radio, call us in our office before the end of business Tuesday. We double it to $100. This week's winner comes from the Safari West trip on June 11th, and it is Sarah Smith. Sarah's been traveling with Sports Leisure Vacations for a long time, so I'm glad to see that she has fortuitous luck of being our winner. So Sarah Smith is our Travel Guys Sports Leisure Vacations winner for today.
And just so you'll know, you didn't actually have the travel winner in your hand. You had the name of the travel winner.
Yes, the name of the travel winner.
And I can see that visual cropping up in people's heads while I said that.
You are a strange man sometimes. We are the Travel Guys. That's Tom Romano. I am Mark Hoffman. And when we come back, we're going to tell you about the 11 craziest ice cream flavors in the world. And I am going to fill you in on my association Friday with the lovely people at United Airlines. Stay tuned. It'll be exciting. We're the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Welcome back. We are the Travel Guys, Travel and Entertainment Guys, I might add, here on KFBK.
Drum and Bugle Corps Guys.
Yeah, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark came up with another list. Mark is great with lists. We've done things not to say to your airline stewardess. Did I say that?
Yes, you said stewardess, which is exactly, that would be on the list. Good Lord, can't take you anywhere.
There you go. Things
you can't say to your flight attendant.
Flight attendant. Things that you should say to your flight attendant.
Yes. And now today, we have a list of ice cream.
Yes. Where did you get this?
Because when you travel, you eat a lot of ice cream. I got this from our friends at smartertravel.com. They're very creative. Carolyn Morse, who has been a guest on this program, has this lovely list of 11 ice cream flavors from around the world. Craziest ice cream flavors, including, first one on the list, raw horse flesh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, can you believe this? You can try raw horse flesh ice cream at Ice Cream City in Thai. This is in an indoor amusement park in Tokyo.
I was going to say, it has a picture of the ice cream container, and I can't read any of this. And I have a feeling that whoever translated this into raw horse flesh doesn't understand the language. I can't believe that. I'm not buying.
I've seen smoked salmon ice cream, though, before, and that scares me. Here's mushy peas and fish ice cream.
It's ice cream, and it actually has mushy fish and
peas in it. Here's another one. This is kind of creative. This is, how about jellyfish ice cream?
What does a jellyfish taste like? Aren't those poisonous? Don't they sting you?
Apparently, they don't use the poisonous part. Avocado ice cream. Now, I've heard that before, although I'm not a fan of avocado. You know why I'm not a fan of avocado?
You're allergic to them.
No, because when you look at guacamole,
yes,
guacamole looks like a food that's already been eaten once. It's green. It's got chunks. I mean, what? I'm just saying.
Okay.
Avocado ice cream. Foie gras ice cream. How about that?
Well, okay.
I mean, you could have, you know, you could, never mind. I don't even want to go there. Here's one that I might actually consider eating. This is toasted garlic almond chip.
Okay.
There's a lot going on there. Toasted garlic with chips of almonds. You can get this in Minneapolis.
I bet you would find this at the Gilroy Garlic Festival.
Yeah. How about, oh, here's one, whiskey prune ice cream. Whiskey prune ice cream.
That doesn't sound too bad.
Here's in Portland, you can get mint leaves with sea urchin meringues ice cream.
There you go.
That's mint leaves with sea urchin. Portland Salt and Straw serves this up. Well, obviously Portland. Keep Portland weird. And finally, here's an ice cream, another one from Japan with a snake in it.
The Mamushi snake ice cream.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that people in Sacramento eat more ice cream per capita than anybody on the planet? It's true.
No, you're kidding.
Yeah, no, a Gallup poll, it's been 5-6 years ago, Sacramentans eat more ice cream per capita than any other major metropolitan city on the planet, and they eat more ice cream in the wintertime by far than anybody else, and they couldn't figure out why. Sacramentans eat more ice cream.
My mother-in-law, who's probably 5 feet and 99 pounds, dripping wet, and in her 80s, we can go to like a Leatherby's, and everything at Leatherby's is huge.
Mm-hmm.
She can finish it off and want more.
Wow.
She is like the ice cream queen. It's amazing. Also seniors on a hold, and I think you might find this.
Yes.
Your travelers are ice cream lovers.
I am famous for stopping at ice cream stores.
Good for you.
While on the road, but that's the one thing that Mark does, but we've never had horse flesh or snake ice cream, I will confess. Garlic, yes. We take people to the garlic festival in Gilroy and get garlic ice cream. So Tom, sitting on an airplane on Friday night in Boston.
Okay, let's hear it.
I've got a group of 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting for a plane to go to Houston and on home.
Yes,
with
plane
Chris
to
Galloway, one of our tour directors. And
on
I've given up my seat for somebody in the group, so I'm flying separately from the group. I'm going to Los Angeles to
flying
Sacramento.
Separately.
We're all coming in around midnight.
Midnight.
Bad weather comes to the East Coast. So
things are
starting to get icky.
Icky.
Yeah. And so we're dealing with the ickiness, and finally the planes that are late are starting to board and stuff like that, and my plane starts to board.
Your plane starts to board.
We thought it started to board.
Started.
But we can't board because the gates are these new electronic self-serve boarding gates, and they're not working.
Hmm.
And the employees that are there don't have any idea how to get them to work. So for 15 minutes, we try to find somebody to get them to work, and then somebody says, why don't we just board them manually? Because the old manual system still worked. So we got on the plane after standing around for 15 minutes. We get on the plane. We're all ready to go. We're trying to make everybody's got connections in Los Angeles. It's Friday night. Everybody's got the late connections in Los Angeles. We're all ready to go. And they're telling us to put our carry-ons in and we're going to button this baby up and we're going to turn her around and get her to Los Angeles. And we wait for 50 minutes for the catering truck, 50 minutes, to bring the first class meals and the buy on board meals for the people in the back, because the flight from Boston to Los Angeles is 6 hours long. So you can't really go without catering, because you're going to have people starving to death, not just your first class passengers, but your people in the back who are counting on you to put something on the plane so they could buy it so they wouldn't starve to death on board. It just gets worse. Captain doesn't even come on and tell us what's going on. We sit there for 50 minutes. By the time we get to Los Angeles, everybody misses their connections, of course. So the airline now, and we get off the plane, and the airline says, well, you know, we don't have to put you up in hotel rooms because it was weather related. No, it wasn't weather related at all. It was a catering truck. We only have a minute here. I can't even start to tell you. This is an airline. The wheels are coming off the wagon. Jeff Smizik, the CEO, got to go. He needs to leave. This airline doesn't have the employees at the airline. The people who are trying are being overwhelmed by the people who are not trying or don't give a damn anymore because they think the company doesn't give a damn anymore. It's amazing the planes are staying in the air. I've flown over 1 million miles with United Airlines. If I could stop flying them tomorrow, I would. Unfortunately, to disengage yourself from an airline when you're a frequent traveler takes about a year because you have to build up some status with another airline. It's just sad. It's tragic. It's sad. I don't know what else to say. Smizik's got to go. It would be a good thing if he stepped down and allowed United to return to being the friendly skies. And that's all I have to say about that.
There you go. And I bet you if you go to Mark's travelguysradio.com, Mark, we need to put this in writing, okay?
You think?
Yeah. All right. Back Sunday, next Sunday. Have a great rest of your Father's Day. We are the Travel Guys every Sunday at 3 o'clock here on KFBK. See you next time.